Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, episode 50 of Swimming Upstream on the Fans First Sports Network. Back with you guys today. It's Alex flying solo, but I got a great guest with me to talk about his baseball journey as a whole, including this year, where this guy has been one of the most consistent players with the Wahoos, especially offensively, and then, of course, with what he does on defense is well known. So it's awesome to see this guy putting it all together, probably playing the most consistent baseball on both sides of the ball that we've seen in his career. So we're going to talk to him about that. Talk to him about his build with the game this year, previous years. We're going to get through it all. So I appreciate Will Banfield from the Pensacola Blue Wahoos for jumping on today. Will, man, what's up? Thank you for doing this in the midst of a road trip. Definitely appreciate it. How are you doing?
Doing really good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, yeah, man, let's get right to it. Of course, like I said, I want to get to this year, but I want to start back with you from your growth with the game. Obviously, as we know, you were drafted as a high school player out of Georgia. Growing up with baseball, not only growing up with the game, but growing up as an adult, as a member of the Marlins organization. So my first question is, man, what has this game done for you growing up with it, not only as a player, but what lessons has it taught you about being an adult?
For sure. You know, coming out of high school, kind of being on, you know, your own for, you know, a couple of years after that. And so I think that my fourth year now, drafted 18, so fifth year, you know, being on my own from high school and always being, you know, there with friends and family back home and everything, that was definitely, you know, an adjustment to come. And, you know, going through the travel ball circuit in high school and, you know, playing, you know, away from home a little bit, that kind of helped me kind of, you know, get adjusted to it a little bit better than not. So, you know, being on the road and, you know, being in hotels and having a roommate and all that kind of stuff that is, you know, older than me and everything growing up, you know, it's been nice. I've been able to learn a lot about the game, about being, you know, a better person, you know, growing up as, you know, an adult, like you said. And, you know, now I'm 23 and, you know, kind of learning more about myself as a player and a person on and off the field has really been, you know, something cool that I've really enjoyed going through this process. And obviously, you know, now, like I said, it's my fifth year, you know, with the Marlins. And you know, just learning every day and finding something to learn throughout the day, no matter what it is, has really been enjoyable.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. I always like to ask high school players that because you're away from home you're playing all the time, 9 months out of the year. I can't imagine. When I was 18, I was
for sure.
It was different. So I like to ask that question.
Yeah, for sure. It's nice being able to come to, you know, road series though that are closer to home. That's always a big plus. I know it's not, you know, as close to some other guys on different teams, but it's definitely a plus that, you know, family, friends can come when it's a couple hours away.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of in line with that, my next one, you know, just growing with this organization. So, you know, 2018 organizationally, that's like beginning of Bruce Sherman, Kim Ang, not too long after that, Jeter was here then, all that stuff. And then to where the organization is today. So my question is here, how has this organization, do you think, kind of grown in your tenure with it? Things they do the same from back then in 2018, things they may do different, and how it's improved?
For sure. Yeah, like you said, it's changed so much from, you know, 18 when I was drafted to now. It's really cool to see, you know, guys grow with organization as well with, you know, a different front office and, you know, new coaches, staff coming in. I would say that, you know, there were some really good people in that staff from 18. Obviously, you know, the people that drafted me and, like you said, Bruce Sherman and, you know, obviously the people that aren't in office now for giving me, you know, that, you know, opportunity to be with the Marlins and continue my baseball career as a professional. Like I said, it's cool to have, you know, different people coming in from different, you know, organizations, learn from them. And like I said before, I'm always trying to find a way to learn, you know, about the game and, you know, on and off the field. So having new people come in, that is enjoyable to me to be able to kind of meet somebody new and learn how they do things and they learn how I do things, you know, on the field and how I am as a player and a person. And it's cool to build those new relationships. And also it's awesome to see, you know, what the big league team is doing right now. And with so many new faces in and, you know, how they're, you know, 14, 15 games over 500 and they're, you know, winning games and they're such a fun team to watch right now. And it's really cool to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely building that winning culture, as we know. Really cool to see where it's gotten to. I agree. In line with this, biggest support system. So, of course, as you go through, you know, building up a Major League Baseball career, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. I'm sure you would agree. But I'm sure there's people and resources that you've used the whole time that have been there for you. So if you can name, I guess maybe there's probably a lot, but if you can name like one or two people or resources that you've used to kind of get to where you're at this year, where you're succeeding as you are, who would they be?
My mom's always going to be one. She's always going to be my number one for it. She's, you know, my rock and she's been there with me since the beginning. And I know that no matter what, if I have a good game, bad game, if I just need some time to talk, you know, have a conversation, whatever it is, I know that I can pick up the phone and give her a call or, you know, she'll always be there, obviously. Another couple of people, you know, the coaching staff at Pensacola, I've really learned a lot from, been able to ask my questions if I needed them and also, you know, given the answers whenever I don't need to ask a question. So, you know, Smoke, Kevin Randall, you know, Dave, Matt Snyder, Blackie, you know, all those guys are really helping me to become a better person and a better player on and off the field. And another guy, Chris Briones, he's a, you know, defensive coach in high A. He's another guy that I can always reach out to. If I, you know, ever have a question or need somebody to talk to or just kind of, you know, get away from just what I'm doing right then in that second and kind of just have a laugh or whatever it is.
100%. One of the guys you mentioned in particular, I wanted to ask a clarifying question on Matt Snyder. I had Dane Myers on not too long ago and asked him this same question that I'm going to ask you. Just this guy's coaching style. I know he was with you in Beloit last year. Now he's with the Wahoos this year. He's kind of follows you up right to Pensacola full time. So I want to ask about him. Dane mentioned his transparency, just like, hey, if I have a question, he doesn't think it's a good idea for me to change that, do something with that. He'll tell me right out. So that's really valuable, just so I don't like waste time. And then I'm always improving. So that was his answer. But I want to give you the answer. I want to get the answer from you. What about Matt Snyder is so helpful for you?
For sure. Yeah. Kind of like what Dane said, you know, being transparent and if, like, not wasting time and not beating around the bush. I, you know, Snyder loves his job, and that's such a nice thing for us as hitters and players You know, when we know that our coach loves his job and he's going to get the work done that, you know, he's going to get done on a daily basis for us to be able to go out there and succeed as best we can that night. So it's always nice to come into the stadium, to the clubhouse, and know that, you know, the work is done and, you know, he sends it to us the night before and he's staying up long hours. And, you know, obviously you just had, you know, a baby a couple of days ago, and to know that, you know, he's got obviously his personal life going on, you know, having a baby and obviously all that kind of stuff is coming up, but also being able to execute his job here at the field for us every single day is awesome. But yeah, like Dane said, it's cool too, because, you know, whenever there's something that comes up that I want to feel or explore, or, you know, in work in the cage or whatever it is, he'll let me know, you know, obviously be transparent if, you know, it's something that we need to waste time on. But, you know, sometimes and a lot of times, you know, we try it, we work through it, and he's going to find his best way to help me, you know, achieve whatever I'm trying to look for or work on in the cage that day. So we've got some good work done obviously this year. And it's nice to have, you know, his energy in the dugout, because he was obviously a player a couple of years ago, and it's nice to know that he's kind of right there in there with us.
Yeah. Former Marlins prospect, Matt Snyder, with the New Orleans baby kids.
For sure.
That was one time. I remember that. Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah. True. Awesome.
I was there his last year, and you know, it was cool to see him play and see him hit. Yeah. Because yeah, he could rake.
Yeah. Right. Sweet. Awesome. So yeah, I mean, a valuable resource. I've talked to a couple of people about him. They all have very, very high praise for Matt Snyder. So I'm glad that he's still around the Marlins organization. Mm-hmm. Maybe something that Matt has helped you with, very likely actually, mechanical changes. So when I look through past games that you've played last year, the year before, all the way back probably to 2018, I know that there's things you've worked on. This year, differences that I see from last year, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but arms are a lot lower, no toe tap trigger on the front end. It's a lot quieter, right? So it's a little bit of a different setup, a lot different, actually, a little bit of a different approach from where you were before. So can you take me through a couple of those changes and why they're working for you, and how they've helped you put up the on-base numbers that you have?
For sure. Yeah, just just flexing my body and not being tense, you know, uptight through the at-bats, even from pitch one to two strikes, and, you know, in those high leverage, you know, situations with guys on base and everything. Me lowering my hands and, you know, my shoulders, and really to me, they felt lower at first because I was a little high and I was just kind of like, you know, constrict, you know, my upper half, just being a little tight. And I found, you know, kind of when I got sent up to Double A last year, exploring with that as well, just loosening up a little bit, and you know, felt like I had some good success with that, carrying it in, over into this year as well, and just trying to improve on that part of it and not, you know, try to do too much and make something happen, you know, when sometimes, you know, we can take one or whatever it is, and also early in the count not miss our pitch. So, you know, we wanted to end these at bats as quick as we can at pitches that, you know, we can do damage with, and especially with guys on the mound that are getting better and better each day. And, you know, guys are coming up through organizations that, you know, throw harder, have better off speed stuff. Whenever we get that pitch that we can do something with early in the count, you know, make sure that we're not missing it.
Against the starter, Davila. First pitch, blasted out to left. This ball's hit well. Norman going back, turning, looking, gone. Back to back, Mesa and Banfield. And it's now a 5-3 Blue Wahoos lead. Banfield hits his third of the year on the first pitch he sees from the reliever, Yoelvin Sylvan.
Me loosening up and being able to, you know, still have my quick bat speed to be able to get to fastballs, and then also adjust on off speed as well, has really been helpful. And the adjustability in, you know, my low from loosening up and being able to adjust, like I said, on off speed from, you know, obviously staying on fastballs has really helped.
Absolutely. Yeah, it shows for sure. In line with this, 10 homers already this year. That's one away from your career high, which was last year. So obviously you got a boost in power as well. Other than what you just said about the approach and the stance and stuff like that, what else do you improve to this? Getting bigger, workout, whatever it may be. What do you attribute to this to the rise in power here?
Yeah, really every single offseason I worked hard, and I'll continue to work hard every after seasons to get stronger, to better myself, you know, as a player and always as a person. I'd say the thing that I did more to, you know, get a little bit more juice, I guess, I would say being more direct and not missing my pitches, you know, whenever I go at them. And like I said, being more adjustable, you know, in my lower and upper half to be able to adjust off speed, and also fastballs, you know, depending on the situation and everything. And, you know, I'd have, you know, from me thinking just a couple of bats, you know, where I have long at bats, 3-2 counts, foul off 4 or 5 pitches, and then have ended in, you know, a home run. It's also me not trying to do too much, not force anything, like I said, too.
3-2 again. Banfield connects deep to left. It is gone. We are tied. A solo home run from Will Banfield, and it's a 1-1 game in the eighth. All night, the Blue Wahoos have been looking for that big hit, and Will Banfield just delivered it.
Just taking what, you know, I'm given from pitchers, and, you know, they're so good nowadays, obviously, that, you know, we need to end that at bat as quick as we can. But also when we're battling and fighting, you know, trying to not do too much, just put the ball in play, and that's really helped.
Yeah, 100%. Last thing on the offense, just looking at the stats as a whole, looking at numbers, looking at average, looking at slugging, it's all good, awesome. Strikeout rate's pretty manageable. The one thing that is low for you, I would say, this year is the walks. So it's only a few walks for you this year. Maybe you could take me through that. You know, obviously, like you said, you're trying to end at bats as quickly as possible. You're looking for pitches that you could do damage with. But is there anything that you're working on to maybe get that free base a little bit more off?
Yeah, just sticking to my approach, you know, throughout the game. Obviously, for starting pitchers, whenever we have the plan before the game that we try to run through, you know, when the relievers come in and we talk about it in the dugout, just continuing to work on my approach. And, you know, that's something that every hitter can do and control is our approach and timing. And obviously that throughout a game basis, at bat basis, pitch basis. And, you know, we're not always going to get our approach right. And we're going to swing at pitches sometimes that we don't want to swing at. And the biggest thing is obviously getting back to control the next pitch and back onto our approach. So just continuing to work on that, you know, each day. And, you know, that will come. And as I'm sticking to my approach, I guess, throughout the game. And like I said, you see it for, you know, every single guy, we're going to swing at pitches that, you know, we don't want to, but the biggest thing is that next pitch, getting right back on it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Absolutely, for sure. Couple on the defense. I want to ask about rule changes. So as you know, with rule changes, stolen bases are up. I know you're a guy who prides yourself on fantastic defense, which is great. But I just want to go through the mentality as a catcher. Now with the step-off rule, the throw-over rule, like from pitchers that are kind of limited, they want to speed up the game, all this other stuff. You being on the other side of that as a catcher, I guess at times you would be probably a little powerless to control this, especially if it's a pesky base runner. So maybe the caught stealing versus stolen base would go up. What's the mentality behind just letting yourself know that, hey, stolen bases are going to go up and I got to live with that?
You know, I'm always going to want to make sure I'm, you know, ahead of that. So I'm never going to be okay with that. I'm always going to want to get that next guy out, and we're going to do everything we can to be able to get the guy at the plate out, guy at first base out, wherever they are. So it's kind of cool, you know, the new rules that are in play. We've gotten a little couple plays that we have in our back pocket as well to be able to get some of these guys out, whether it be, you know, making sure pitchers are having good time to the plate, slide steps, or, you know, we have drop gloves, or, you know, we have different picks or whatever it is. And, you know, you can kind of see that with other teams starting to put that into play as well to try to figure out a way to, you know, get these, you know, big base stealers out. And it's crazy because, you know, you don't have to be fast really, or really a great base stealer to steal bags now with the new rules. But I see once our pitchers, you know, have good time to play and they give me a chance that I'm able to get them.
Now taking off for third, Infante, the throw to third, and out at third base is Infante.
And, you know, sometimes it's not going to happen. There's going to be guys obviously that are going to be safe, but the more that we can show them that, you know, we have good times to the plate and we're quick and we're not slow to the plate, and, you know, also, you know, throw a couple guys out and pick over and mix timing up, they're going to be a little bit more timid to go.
Awesome. I like that you're not content with that. Like, you're still working to.
No, not at all.
To get those guys. Yeah, it's awesome.
For sure.
Sweet. Last one on this, on defense. As you guys know, they've been using, in the Southern League, they've been using this different baseball. Soon going back to the regular baseball, right? So I want to ask, I asked Monteverde about the baseball. It was a fun conversation, but I want to ask you about this as well. As you guys switch back here, second half of the season, right? You're going to be switching back. Is there a difference for you in how you work with guys, how you call guys? Do you anticipate that there's going to be any difference in what you've been doing so far this year when you guys make the switch back to the regular ball?
You know, how I've understood it is these new baseballs are moving more. Obviously, numbers are up for fastballs, off speed, all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say that I would call the game different or anything like that. I would say that we'll obviously work with the balls that we're going back to in these next couple of weeks, and we'll throw bullpens with them, and we'll see how pitchers are moving compared to, you know, how they were this first half, obviously. But I wouldn't say that the pitch calling would be different. I would say making sure that, you know, locations aren't affected by the pitches from the baseballs that we're about to use again, because the old baseballs, you know, had a little mind of their own sometimes. So, you know, bullpens and work before we get into the games, and also in games, we'll make sure that, you know, locations are, you know, where we need them to be. So, you know, balls aren't running off the plate, or, you know, they're not just kind of sitting dead middle of the plate and, you know, hitters are able to get their swings off since these balls might not be moving as much as they were. So, like I said, just probably focusing more on locations and sticking to the same, you know, approach and pitch calling that, you know, we have with our guys.
Got it. Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So that's it on defense. I wanted to ask you about a couple of your teammates. Obviously, you know, we got the Futures game coming up. You guys just had two guys selected to the Futures game, and Patrick and Nassim. So I talked to Patrick on the podcast a little bit ago. I talked to Nassim a bunch in spring training because he's around the big club and around the minor league side of things. But I want to ask about these guys individually. Patrick Monteverde just pitched last night. This guy has been fantastic. Probably the best pitcher in the Southern League and one of the best in minor league baseball. So tell me about this pitcher. What do you see catching him? What do you got on him?
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun to catch him. You know, I have a great time when we get paired up. And that's usually the case is, you know, for the game. It's awesome to be able to come into the clubhouse and know that I'm such a competitor and I want to win. And every single day we still on that field, obviously we want to do good ourselves, but we want to win every single game that we're playing. And it's cool to step in that clubhouse and know that he's the exact same way. He's a competitor. He wants to win for his team. He's going to be prepared every single day for a start. You know, 4 or 5 days in advance, he's making sure that he's right and ready to go for a start right after, you know, he had a start. So, for example, today he's going to be, you know, watching his film and getting his you know, body right for his next out and next week. You know, he fills up the strike zone. He never gives in. He, like I said, he makes sure he works on his craft. And, you know, we do that in the bullpen whenever I get the chance to catch his bullpen. Then obviously I'm down there, and it's cool to be able to see, you know, what he's working on each time. And he's, always got a purpose for what he's doing, you know, when he is working. And you can see that translate obviously to games because he's prepared, he's ready to go. And that's one of the biggest differences is this guy loves to compete and he wants to be good and he wants to be good for his team. So it's cool to be able to be out there with him.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Nas Nunez, I know you've known this guy for a while as well. Makes it over into the futures game this year. Started out really well. I don't think June is probably what he would have wanted, but I'm sure he'll be able to bounce back. Super athletic guy, in my opinion. Great shortstop. So it's cool to see him start to find some success as well, especially more consistently on the offensive side. So Nas, what do you got on him, your relationship with him, what he brings to the clubhouse, what he brings to the team? Go ahead.
Sure. I'd say it's pretty similar. You know, another guy that comes to the field every single day ready to work and to get better. And, you know, I would say on and off the field, a guy that same thing, he wants to get better, you know, at everything he does. It's cool to be able to come in here and know, you know, we got sent up last year. I think I got sent up right around the All-Star break. And then he was sent up, you know, right after that as well with, you know, in kind of almost the same time period. And obviously we won, you know, the championship last year and kind of got that taste of, you know, coming to the field every day, wanting to win. And, you know, obviously, like I said, we want to, you know, do good ourselves and everybody wants to, but whenever we can focus on, you know, every single day, wanting to win for our team and, you know, trying to get the next guy up to the plate, score that next run, anything it is, then, you know, success will come. And that's something that he does. He's a selfless baseball player when he's out there. And, you know, we need somebody to be moved over. You know, he throws a bunt down. If we need somebody to, you know, score a run, you know, he's going to hit that line drive. And, you know, we see that in him and we know that, you know, he'll get the job done. And if he doesn't, then, you know, he's a great teammate. He's going to be in the dugout and, you know, rooting for the next guy. And he's not going to be that, you know, selfish person to where he's, you know, thinking about his at bat, whatever it is in that inning, whenever we need kind of, you know, the dugout to be up on the fence for that next guy up. So it's fun to watch him work. It's fun to watch him, you know, get better since, you know, we've been together for a couple of years and see him get better on and off the field. And, you know, it's cool to be able to have somebody on the same team that, you know, like I said, for Pat and a lot of other guys on the team that just, you know, want to be, you know, a better teammate each day.
Last one on teammates. Simple question. Yuri Perez, are you surprised by what he's doing or no?
Not at all. You know, I obviously started here with us and we all knew a little matter of time before he, you know, got sent up and he was doing his thing in the big leagues. We're very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be, you know, in that same clubhouse when he did get called up and have a little, you know, part of catching him last year and this year. And it's so exciting to be able to watch him do what he's doing right now. We throw the game on anytime he's pitching really in the house, really Marlins games as well. But, you know, he's pitching and you know, we're able to watch that. Then I feel like the whole clubhouse is locked in to watch him. He's just a fun guy to watch. I'm excited for him. I'm really excited for his future to come up here and to see how he finishes this year.
Cool. Two more and then we're going to be done for the day. Talk to me about Pensacola as a whole. I ask you guys this whenever I have one of you guys on. You guys usually have the same sentiment about winning culture, but I'm going to ask you too. Had Sean Reynolds on not too long ago. He was preaching about, man, this is such a great winning culture. It's such a great place to be. It starts here, and we're going to bring it up to the big leagues. So I want your thoughts on this. Tell me about the mentality surrounding this team as a whole. They're going back to the playoffs again after winning the first half. There's just so much success and such great camaraderie and attitude around this team that's being built by coaches yourself. Tell me a bit about the inside workings of that and how you guys can keep it going as you continue to develop as professionals.
For sure. You know, like I was saying, wanting to be at the ballpark and win every single day is a big part of it. Obviously it's, you know, the minor leagues and, you know, it's developing guys and making sure that we get better each day as a player ourselves. But whenever, like I said before, whenever we can focus on, you know, on the field during the game, doing whatever's, you know, necessary to win that game, getting the next guy up to the plate, making that next pitch, focusing on the next pitch after, you know, a bad at bat or, you know, whatever it is, I think is really the biggest thing. You know, whenever you have guys that are thinking about themselves or, you know, being selfish of, you know, having a bad at bat and, you know, being locked out for the rest of the game and not locked in. You know, that's when it comes to where, you know, we lose those games and in tight situations or, you know, we have bad clubhouse guys. But, you know, since I got here last year and, you know, obviously to this point this year, we have such good guys in the clubhouse and, you know, in the dugout that, you know, want to win. Also, we all hang out, you know, outside of the field and, you know, we're all friends. And that's the coolest thing about it is we can turn it on while we're out the field and make sure we're locked in and also, you know, get on to each other when we need to. We're kind of cool, but when we're off the field, we're able to have fun and make sure that we're always, you know, hanging out and having that camaraderie that we, you know, need as a team to be able to win.
Sweet. Awesome. Love to hear it. Yeah, being able to turn it on and then go turn it off and relax. It's definitely something to be said for that.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good to hear. Good balance. Okay, cool. Last one, man. And then it's going to be it for today. Again, really appreciate it. Simple question. We're going into the second half. What does a successful end to 2023 look like for you? Something else you want to accomplish that you haven't done already? Or just something you want to continue to do? Maybe both that you can point to for the rest of the year?
Yeah, like I've been saying, just as a player and a person each and every single day, making sure that I'm doing my work and ready for every single game that I play and making sure that I'm this staff, starting pitcher that's going to be out there every single day and, you know, there for my team every single time that they need me. So I would say that. And, you know, I want to win a World Series one day and every single year. The goal at the end of the year is to, you know, win that league, win that championship, wherever I am, whatever it's going to be, that's going to be the goal is to win that championship at the end of the year.
Awesome. Love to hear it. See that winning culture permeating. So it's great.
For sure.
Sweet. All right, man. Well, again, definitely want to say thanks again for joining us. I want to thank Eric and the Marlins for helping me get you on today and for you, of course, for your time. So definitely really appreciate it. Wish you all the best of luck for the rest of the year, man. You know, we'll always be around to keep in touch. So really appreciate it again and wish you the best of luck here in the near future.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
Great. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. That's it, guys. Will Banfield, some great stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed. That's it for Swimming Upstream for today. And we'll see you guys next time on the show.